Okay, today's Daf is Shabbat, Daf Tzadik Daled. We're at the bottom of Tzadik Gimel Amud Bet at the Mishnah. We're going to be stopping a little bit short today, but we'll catch up tomorrow. Matniti in amotzi ochlin pechod mekashior bekli patu or al hakli shakli tfeila lo. So someone who takes out food less than the amount of less than the size that he would be chayev for, meaning an insignificant amount of food, and he took it out in a vessel, he's potter, and he's even potter on the vessel because the vessel is considered secondary to the food. The vessel doesn't have independent significance beyond its carrying of the food. Et chay b'mita potter af al hamita shamita tefila lo. And if he takes out a living person on a bed, right, he's potter, and he's even potter on the bed because the bed is secondary to the person itself. Right, we're going to talk about why he's not chayev for the person in the Gemara. Et amed b'mita. Chayev. However, if he takes out a dead person on a bed, then he would be chayev. V'chein kezayit min hamet, also an olive-sized chunk of a dead body. Chazayit min nevela, olive-sized chunk of a nevela. V'chadasha min hasheretz, right? Or a lentil size of a sheretz. Chayev is chayev for all those things. Rabbi Shimon poter. Rabbi Shimon says that he is poter for doing so. Tan Rabbanan, Rabbi Shimon said he's poter because it's malacha shenet zricha legufa, right? You don't need, meaning malacha shenet zricha legufa is when you do the malacha, but not for the intended purpose. Why? What's the malacha of hotzah? It is because you need the thing that you're carrying in a different place, right? Meaning you need to use it there, as opposed to when you're carrying a dead body out of your house, you just want it out of your house. It's not about where it is, it's about where it's not. So it's not lachshan tzrich ha'gufa. Gemara, tan rabana, namotzi ochlin kishiur, im bekli chayev ala ochlin, upater al ha'kli. So if you took out food that was a shiur, right? So you'd be chayev on the shiur, and you took it out in a kli, so you're chayev on the food, but you're actually putter on the kli, because still the kli is considered secondary. V'im haya kli tzarech lo, v'im haya kli tzarech lo, chayav af ala kli. Right? If you need the container, if you also need the container, right, just then you're also chayev on the kli. Meaning the kli, if it's serving a function beyond just carrying the food. Right? Shema mina, ochel shnei zeite chelev behelem echa. Chayev shtayim. Wait 1 second. If you're chayev on the food and the kli, which you're doing in one action as one together, right? That you have to bring a korban chatat because that is because you're doing then one lapse of knowledge. Would that imply then that if you ate two olive size worth of forbidden fat, then you're chayev twice as well? No, you should only be chayev once. Right? So why is it that you're chayev on the food and the kli for carrying one thing that is both the food and the kli? It doesn't matter that you're doing two things wrong technically because you're in one. Behelim, it's behelim echad, just like you're eating two zeitim of chelav behelim echad. Amar Rav Sheshe, achal ma'eskinan. Okay, so Rav Sheshe wants to clarify. No. What is the case here that means that that makes you chayev twice? Gigod sheshagag al ha'ochlin vehezid al kli. Right? It's where carried out the ochel b'shogeg, you carried out the food b'shogeg, unintentionally, but you carried out the kli b'mezid. Right? So you would bring a korban chatat on the food carrying out, but you'd be chayev mita for the kli. Matkif la Rav Ashi v'ha af al ha'kli katani. 1 second. But it says that you're chayev af al ha'kli, meaning also on the kli, for the same reason. It seems to imply that you're chayev for the same reason, not that it's a totally different category, that you're chayev mita for that. Rather, it's a case where you did both of them b'shogeg, v'nodalo v'chazav v'nodalo. Right? So then you became aware that you did one of those things wrong, and then you became aware that you did another one of the things wrong, and because you noticed them, because you were aware of them at different times, then you get different korbanot, right? Because your chiyuv korban chatat kicks in, not when you do the thing wrong, but when you realize that you did the thing wrong. So if you realize it two different times, then it's not considered like you did a behelim echad. You recognize it at two different times, and you have to bring two different korban chatat. Right? Uba pluta, the Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon, and Lakish. And this follows the machlok of Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan that we saw earlier on in the Masech, that we dealt with this issue as opposed to, when, at what stage in the process do you have to realize about the second Avera in order to be chayev twice? Is it after you recognize, or if you recognize it two different times already, or maybe after your hifrish, you set aside the korban, or maybe even after you brought the korban, right? We had that machloket, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan. We weren't exactly sure, which one, at what point they actually distinguished between the point where one says that you would have to bring two, and one says you have to bring one. There's a three-way machloket there. So as follows the machloket Rabbi Ben Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan regarding Being chayev twice because you recognize the different times. And chay b'mita pater afalamita, right? So you carried out a living person on a bed, you even pater on the bed itself. Le'im matnitin Rabbi Natan hi v'lo Rabbanan. So let's say that the Mishnah follows Rabbi Natan's view and not the Rabbanan's view. Tanya motzi behema chayev of lo shuta rabim ben chayinu ben shechutin chayev. So the Tanakama, the Rabbanan, hold that if you take out an animal or a domesticated animal, wild animal or a bird into the rabim, whether it's alive or dead, you're going to be chayev. Rabbi Natan Omer al shchutin chayev val chayin pater shechayin noset atzmo. And then Rabbi Natan says, no, only for the dead animals you're chayev, but for the live animals you're pater, because here's a big principle here: live things, living things, carry themselves. If something's alive, you're not actually bearing their full weight. They make it easier for you. They balance themselves out. They, it's much harder to carry a dead person at the same weight than it is to carry a live person, right? In which case, you're not really properly carrying it. That's Rav Natan's shita, and therefore it stands to reason that this follows this Mishnah follows Rabbi Natan's shita, because you're a potter on the dead on the living person that you carry out, but chayav on the dead person you carried out. That sounds like Rabbi Natan, who says chay noset atzmo, that a living person carries himself. Amar Rava afilu tema Rabbanan, and recorded the Rava says no. Even you can even say the Mishnah follows the Rabbanan, because you're making an improper inference in the Rabbanan's shita just based on what we saw. Ad kan lo pligi Rabbanan ella de Rabbi Natan. Ad kan lo pligi Rabbanan aleha de Rabbi Natan ella bivehema chayva of. Meaning, when did the Chachamim have a machloket, have an argument? Only when it comes to the behema chayva of. Right, not the living animal, not the living people, only animals. The mishtarbete navshayhu. Right, so living the animals don't like to be carried. Right, so they become very, very stiff and difficult to carry when you pick them up. That is why you really are considered as if you're carrying the entire thing, not like a living person, where the Rabbanan would have agreed to Rabbi Natan by a living person, and therefore they could be the shita of our Mishnah. Aval Adam chay denoset atzmo afilu Rabbanan mode. So even the Rabbanan would agree when it comes to a living person that he really carries himself. It's only about animals that they argue. Amar li Ravada bar Ava la Rava ben Betera matir besus. Okay, so here's an interesting teaching. So ben Betera permits you to rent a horse to a non-Jew for use on Shabbat. Vitanya ben Betera matir besus bipneshu osebo milacha she'en chayvin alav chatat. Right, and we thought about that, that ben Betera allows you to rent out the horse to a non-Jew on Shabbat because the horse is doing a malacha that you're not chayv a chatat for. What does that mean? Well, you're not allowed to do malacha on Shabbat, and you're actually also not allowed to have your animals worked on Shabbat, right? You were commanded on their shvita. You were commanded that they may not be involved in a malacha. So if your animal's being used for a malacha, even by a non-Jew, you're not allowed to rent them out for that. However, the horse is doing something that's not chayev. What does it mean? Well, the horse is being ridden upon. And we just said that a chai nosei et atzmo, the chai carries himself, so the horse is not carrying him from one domain to another, because he's carrying himself from one domain to another, in which case, that's not a malacha, and therefore you're allowed to rent out your horse. V'am Rabbi Yochanan, and then Rabbi Yochanan commented on the bright as follows, Ben Betera, Rabbi Natan, Amru Davar Echad. Ben Betera and Rabbi Natan say the same thing. Right, so Rabbi Natan, who says Chai Noset Atzmo by the animal, by the animals, and the Rabbanan argue upon him, is saying the same thing as Ben Betera here. Ve'iamar de'lo pligi Rabbanan alei de Rabbi Natan ela b'behem achayev of umishum d'mishtar b'tei navshayhu my iria Ben Betera of Rabbi Natan v'amart afilu Rabbanan modu. Okay, and here's the issue with suggesting that even the Rabbanan would agree to Rabbi Natan in the case of a human being, because if the only reason that the Rabbanan argued because we're talking about animals and not people. But here, in the case of selling the horse, we are talking about a person riding him, and we still say Chai Noset Atzmo. Then what's this? Then why does Rabbi Yochanan say, "Oh, Ben Betera and the Rabbanan are saying the same thing"? For the purposes of carrying a person, Ben Betera and Rabbi Yochanan are saying the same thing. For the purposes of carrying a person, the Rabbanan would agree to that, apparently. In which case, don't tell me that Ben Betera and Rabbi Yochanan say the same thing. Tell me Ben Betera, Rabbi Yochanan, and the Rabbanan say the same thing. Because if the Rabbanan would say that for people, for carrying people, then there's not a unique din of Rabbi Rabbi Natan in any way. So it's very difficult to suggest that the Rabbanan don't argue. Ki ama Rabbi Yochanan besusa miyuchad le'ofot nero. Rabbi Yochanan, when he said that, when he compared Rabbi Natan's Shita and Ben Bethera Shita, he was talking about a very specific horse. Not any horse that would be rented out. A very specific horse that was used to carry birds. Because the horse was used to carry birds, Davka Rabbi Natan would agree, but not the Rabbanan, because the Rabbanan don't agree by animals. Umi ika susa miyuchad le'ofot? In. But wait, are there really horses that are specific for carrying birds? Yeah, there are actually. Ika devai viadin, right? So bird hunters have horses just specifically to carry their birds once they're killed. Amar Rabbi Yochanan umode Rabbi Natan bechafut, right? So Rabbi Yochanan says that Rabbi Natan would agree, even Rabbi Natan, who says Chana said Atzma, would agree if the animal is bound up, right? That would be Chayav, right? Even though he says by animals generally Pater, here would be Chayav. Amar l'Ravada bar Matna le'abaye ha'hani parsai kiman de chafite damu. That's difficult. Why? Because these Persians are, that can't walk, are as if they're tied up. Rabbi Yochanan says that Ben Beteira and the Rabbanon Ben Beteira and Rabbi Natan say the exact same thing. But that is difficult because no one says. Ben Beteira allows the sale of horses to Persians who can't walk by themselves, and still he permits it, so seemingly, and they can't walk themselves by themselves, so it's like they're bound up, so seemingly, Ben Beteira even considers a tied up, thing to be Noseat Atzmo, to be carrying itself, in which case, how do you say that Rabbi Natan and Ben Beteira are saying the same thing if Rabbi Natan apparently would agree to the Rabbanon by something tied up? Hatam Ramot Rucha Hu Dinak. It's not that they can't walk. It's not that they can't walk on their own at all. It's just that they ride around on horses because it's out of arrogance. Like they're too good to walk, right? But they can walk. They don't need to ride around on horses. So it's not like they're tied up and can't walk. They can walk. Dahu par dashka in deratach malka iluve v'rait tlata parse bechare. We see that there was a certain Persian officer, and the king was mad at him. He chased after him, and he ran 300 parsot by foot. So we can see that they're very mobile. They just ride around all day only on horses out of arrogance, but not because they can't really carry themselves. Etamet b'mita. So the Mishnah says that if you carried out a dead body on a bed, you'd be chayev. V'chein kezayit minamet. Right. Similarly, we said about an olive size of a dead body. Amar Rabbi Barchana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Yosef, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Poter Haya Rabbi Shimon Af Bemoti Damet Lekovro. So Rabbi Shimon, who says Pater because it's Melach Shana Tzricha Gufa, would say it's Pater even if you bring it out to bury it. Meaning, what did you think? You thought, okay, so I understand if I just want to take it out of my house, that's Melach Shana Tzricha Gufa. I don't need this thing in the yard. I just want it not in my house. Okay, that's Melach Shana Tzricha Gufa. But what did I take it out to bury? It, then don't I davka want it where it is? Right? That's the Havamina suggested there, you'd be chayav. Even there, Rabbi Shimon would say pater. Amar Rava, umode Rabbi Shimon, bimar lachbor bo, v'sefer Torah, likrod bo, dechayav. However, says Rava, Rabbi Shimon would agree that if you're taking out a hoe to dig, or if you're taking out a sefer Torah to read it, there you're going to be chayav. Pshita, isn't that obvious? Like, that is, what do you mean? That is exactly what we're talking about. That is the malacha sheshet tzricha legufa. Is it not? You're bringing something outside to use it there. Di ha nami malacha sheshet tzricha legufa hi, ela malacha sheshet tzricha legufa Rabbi Shimon ha'echim ishachala. Right? Meaning, if you want to say that is not a malacha sheshet tzricha legufa, meaning if you want to say that is not a malacha done for its exact purpose, right? Then what exactly do you think a malacha done for its exact purpose is, according to Rabbi Shimon? That is a perfect example of a malacha done for its exact purpose. Mahu retema adiika legufa velegufa kigon mar lasot lo tas lachbor sevedor lekro lehegya likrod bo. Right? No. So you may have thought that a malacha shetzricha legufa would be that you took it out both for its per use and for your use, right? Meaning you took out a hoe in order to fix it and then to dig. A Sefer Torah in order to correct it and then to read from it, right? Not just because you need it, but because it's needed. You took it out for its purpose and for your purpose. Kamash Malan, right? So we see from here that that as long as you're bringing it out for a purpose, not just for your purpose and for its purpose, still gonna be chayv. Ahu shachva dehave bejirokra. Okay, so a dead body was in the town of Drokra. Shara Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Lavuki the Carmelite. Rav Nachman Yitzchak said you can take it out into a Carmelite. Amarlei Rav Yochanan Achua de Marbereder Abnol. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. Come on, says whose shita are you following? Who allows this dead body to be taken out into a Carmelite? Kirabi Shimon. Emat the Pata Rav Shimon. Mechiyuv Chata Isura de Rabbanan Mihaika. So it can't be that you're following Rav Shimon's shita because Rav Shimon, who says you're allowed to carry out this dead body in order to bury it, he just says it's not usher de oraita to do so. However, certainly you'd be but it doesn't say that it's not usher at all. Still usher the rabbanon. So who exactly, whose shita are you following that allows you to take this out into a carmelite? Amar le ha'elokim, or by God himself, the eilat bay at. You yourself would take him out. I mean, you would agree that you ought to take him out here. Vafila Rabbi Yehuda Shari, right? Even Rabbi Yehuda, it's not just Rabbi Shimon who says you're allowed to. Even Rabbi Yehuda would say you're allowed to. Demika mina l'shut rabim, because did I tell people they're allowed to take him out of the l'shut rabim? The Carmelite come in, I said they're allowed to take him out to a Carmelite. That's not even usher d'oraita, right? Gadol kavod abriot shebetora. Gadol kavod abriot shedochet alota se shebetora. And furthermore, the mitzvah of kavod abriot, meaning taking this man out to a burial, is so significant that it can be doche, the lota say, that it obligates you to listen to the rabbis. Right, so basically what we're saying here is, I know that Rabbi Shimon says it's still usser. He didn't say it's mutter legamri to take something out. However, I didn't say you can take it out to the Shuta Rabim. You can take it out to the Shuta Yachid. To a Carmelite, which is also derabanan. And we're talking about Kavod Abriot here. We're talking about this deceased body, not rotting in the house, right? So all the more so, because Kavod Abriot, to show honor and respect to the deceased, is more important than, or to the people in the house, so they're not with a deceased body, is more important or pushes off the lotase of the rabbinic decrees. Tanan hatam hatolish simane tuma vehichva hamichya over belotase. Someone who takes out hairs that convey tuma, or who removes a wound that conveys tuma of a tzarat over belotase. He violates an iser. You're not allowed to do that. You're not to remove the thing that's causing tuma from your body. Itmar achat mishtayim chayav, and if he takes out one of two hairs that are conveying tuma, you're chayav. Achat mishalosh. However, if he takes out one of three, Rav Nachman amar chayav, Rav Sheshet amar pater. So Rav Nachman says you're chayav, and Rav Sheshet says you'll be pater there for taking out one of three hairs. The other two hairs are still conveying tuma. Rav Nachman amar chayav. Ahani mase de'i mishtakla chada achariti azla la tuma. So Rav Nachman says you're chayav because if just one more hair fell out, you would be completely removing the tuma thing, which is also to do. You're not allowed to remove your source of tuma. In which case, because even though you didn't do the final product of taking out the sufficient hair to remove the tuma, what you did brought you significantly closer to that. Because now you're just one hair away from removing the tuma. That's why you're chayav. Rav Sheshet amar pater hasha miha ita latuma. Right, and Rav Sheshet says your pater is because right now there's still tuma. I don't care that you're closer to not having tuma. Right now there's still tuma. Right, Amar Rav Sheshet mina mina la. And how do I know that you just look at what's right now and not not that you did something significant that brought you closer to the iser, but just what we look at right now? If you did something wrong, it's not. Right, so we learn that if you take out a kezayit of a dead body or kezayit and a nevela, you're going to be chayav. And we can learn from that, from an inference from that Mishnah, that if you only took out half a zayit, then you're going to be pater. So if you took out half a zayit of mate or half a zayit of nevela, you're pater. V'hatanya chetzi zayit chayef. But we taught in a braita elsewhere that if you take out half a zayit, you're going to be chayef. So how do we resolve this contradiction that on the one hand it looks like half a zayit is pater, on the other hand it looks like half a zayit is chayef for taking it out? Right, so how do we resolve that? My love, Haratanya, Chayev, the Apik Chetzi Zayit, Mekezayit. Right, where did we teach Chayev? When you removed half a zayit from a full zayit, and now that the full zayit is missing half a zayit, neither one of them is a shiur chiyuv. Right? So, even though you only removed half a zayit, which is an insignificant amount, your removal was a significant action because you're not leaving the thing with a full kazayit in order to be chayav, right? So even though the thing itself isn't intrinsically significant, it's too small, your removal of it was a significant action because it rendered it pater. Because it's no longer a shiur chiyuva. V'hadetnan pater the apke chetzi zayin b'kazayin mechta. And when we said that you're going to be pater for taking out a chetzi zayit, or when we said that when we inferred that you're going to be pater for taking out a chetzi zayit, that's when you took out the chetzi zayit from something that was a kazayin mechta. It was a kazayin and a half. And therefore, what you're taking out still leaves the thing with a kazayit. Right? If it still leaves the thing with a kazayit, then you did not render that kazayit insignificant. Now, why do we bring this all in? Because Rav Sheshet says, we look at what you did now. Right now, did you bring it closer to losing enough to render it a non-halachic shiur? Meaning, yes, if it's just one kazayit, then if you take anything away, it's not a full shiur. So you might want to say, taking half a kazayit is significant. Even though you haven't detracted enough from the original thing to leave it at less than a shiur, you still brought it closer to being less than a shiur. So maybe I want to say that your actions are significant because even though you didn't make it less than a shiur kazayit, you made it closer to less than a shiur kazayit. But we don't say that, right? We say it's pater because right now you have not done anything significant because there's still a shiur kazayit left. So we don't look at what's going to be. We look at what you did. Right now, you did not take away a significant amount because there's still a kazayit left, and that is, so your removal of a chetzi kazayit from the kazayit was not all that significant. Rav Nachman, idi ve'idi, chayav. So Rav Nachman says, no. Both those cases you mentioned, Rav Sheshet, yeah, they're both chayav. V'arnan pater de'apik chetzi zayit mimet gadol. And the only place that we taught that you're pater for taking out a chetzi zayit is when you take out a chetzi zayit of a very large source of tumah, right? Like the entire mate himself. So you're taking out of a chetzi zayit did not really do very much. It didn't even bring you that much closer. It's like taking one out of three. It's not like taking one out of two. What we said pater is when you took a very insignificant amount from a much larger source of tumah. We're up to the Mishnah. We're going to stop here. We'll catch up tomorrow.